My.
Little kid, six and on down. I'm sorry. Everybody but him. Six and on down. You all going downstairs. Amen. For the children's program.
Amen. While they're leaving, I will say this. Brother Cosby really hurt my feelings. I thought after last night I was fixing to cut a record and buy a bus. And got the bad news this evening. Well, my daughter, she told me last night, I forgot, that was the first time she ever played that song for me. There's a fellow up in Alaska that used to play that song on a piano for me. It's the only one she never played for me out of the three I know. The other two, she's always played for me. That's the first time she ever had to play it. And I told her after the service, I said, that's the worst bum-up job you ever done on that song. And she assured me it wasn't her fault. I got to blame it on somebody. And you get out of taking the blame, you know, there's always somebody to dump it on. But I had a good time yesterday. It was fellowship was great. My goodness, what a service we had yesterday. And I'm glad to be here tonight. It's just about over. It'll soon be history. And I trust that your heart at this stage is settled. If it's not, I do trust God will do something to speak to you. You know, everybody here, especially, you know, the members of this church I'm speaking to, you'll do one of three things in this mission conference and as we look toward next year. You'll either do less than what you did last year, and God forbid, we've been involved in Faith Promise for over 13 or 14 years, I think, and we've never done less by the grace of God than what we did the year before. Everybody here is going to do one of three things. You either do less than you did, or you'll do the same that you've done last year. And if God should so lead, so be it. I think probably out of 13 or 14 years, and every year we renew our promise between us and the Lord, I think there's only been two or three years where that we were led of God to leave it just like it was. We didn't add anything to it. You be sure that that's what God's leading you to do. And then, of course, there are going to be those who will do more than they have done. And sometimes you enter into that kind of a covenant and promise with a little bit of fear, doubt. As soon as you make up your mind and God lays something on your heart, it's always broad daylight. But shortly after the decision's made, the devil always sees to it, it gets a little dark. But God's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. And as you've probably well determined and know by now, we're in a battle. There's no doubt about it, we're in a battle. And I want you to turn your Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy in chapter number 20. I'd like to speak to you tonight from a passage of Scripture and promise to remember the time. We know that Sunday school starts early in the morning. And then I know there's visitors here and others that have a long way to drive. And we'll remember the time tonight. Get you on plenty of time. There's two areas that if you get involved in, you're going to find out that you're right in the thick of the battle. We're in a war, and you know how it is in a war. There are some areas where the enemy is maybe fighting a little bit harder than other areas. There's two particular areas. I could list a dozen real quick, but there's two particular ones. If you get involved in either of these two areas, you're gonna find out the devil is opposing, and the devil's fighting those areas. One of them is the Word of God. You involve yourself with publishing and printing and propagating and trying to help preserve the Word of God, and you'll find the devil asks no quarter, and he gives no quarter. You'll find that the hottest part of the battle is right there. There in Milford in our print shop, and you wouldn't believe some things I tell you if I told you. You wouldn't believe some of the problems that comes when you involve yourself in the Word of God. The devil hates the Word of God. And then a church and individuals that involve themselves secondly in missions, you're going to find out real quick like that as the song that I tried to sing yesterday, it's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. You get involved in those areas, and I'm not trying to say that there's other areas that he won't fight you on. The devil hates anything that's good, anything that promotes and glorifies God. He's against it, and he'll fight you. But you get in those two areas, and you'll find out some of the stiffest opposition and fight that you've ever got into in your life. you will experience in those areas. Now, yesterday we had great victory. We're looking forward to even more. And our Savior one day is going to come back, and the record will be all laid out then. But before He does come back, we're to be good soldiers. And I want to talk to you tonight from a passage of Scripture here in Deuteronomy chapter 20. It tells us here, for time's sake, let's start at verse 5. They're getting ready now to go out and to fight some battles, and they're getting their instructions here. They have not known too much about warfare before this time. He says in verse 5, he said, "And the officers shall speak unto the people, saying, What man is there that hath built a new house and hath not dedicated it? Let him go and return to his house, lest he die in the battle, and another man dedicate it. And what man is he that hath planted a vineyard and hath not eaten of it? Let him also go and return unto his house, lest he die in the battle, and another man eat of it. And what man is there that hath betrothed a wife and hath not taken her? Let him go and return unto his house, lest he die in battle, and another man take her. And the officers shall speak further unto the people, and they shall say, What man is there that is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go and return unto his house, lest his brethren's heart faint as well as his heart. And it shall be, when the officers have made an end of speaking unto the people, that they shall make captains of the armies to lead the people." Father, thank you for this night. Thank you for the slide presentation about those folks there in New Caledonia. And Father, we pray that you'll bless our dear brother, help him and expedite his journey back to the field. And we pray, Father, that your will would be done this night. And there are no doubt in a crowd this size, Lord, it'd be almost impossible to get a crowd this size together and not have some lost folk here. Lord, there's possibly some Christian folk here tonight that their lives are not really counting for Jesus. And Father, sin lies at the door. And I pray, Lord, tonight you'll speak to those. And then, Father, for your people, those that need encouragement, might we be able to encourage someone tonight. Lord, might we be able to be a blessing to someone. And Father, those that need a rebuke, I trust God tonight that they'll receive it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, as I said before, we're in a battle. And you know, this is the day in America that this is the days of physical fitness. I mean, that is the craze. Everybody, you know, they got diets and they got jogging. And I've seen some of those folks out, 40 degrees, drizzling rain, and some fool in a pair of shorts running down the street. Now, that fella's got some conviction, brother, about jogging that I couldn't work up. But there's some folk that taking vitamins and pumping iron. Here a while back, I got one of these membership deals to Dick Tanney International that somehow somebody gave me or something. And I stop on the road. I'll be out sometimes on the West Coast or something and go. And I go in the gym and watch them fellas pump iron until I break out in a sweat. Then I go to the steam room and sit in there. And then, you know, and I can, you know, get real tired watching them. And I'm all for physical fitness, even though I don't look like it. I'm all for it. The Bible said bodily exercise profiteth little. There is a little profit in it. Usually you can look at a person and tell whether they're physically fit or not. Sometimes it's very deceiving, but you can look and generally tell if a person is physically fit. Now, howbeit in the spiritual realm, although some folks don't have it hid quite as well as they think they do, but sometimes it's a little harder to detect in the spiritual realm about those that are unfit. But I've just read for you a passage of Scripture, and they were getting ready to go out for a battle. Now, you that have gotten, some of you, maybe the very first time that you've ever stepped out by faith and you have promised between you and God and entered into a covenant to help some of these missionaries, and you think you saw a battle last year, you just wait till this year. And we're headed into a battle, and there are some folks, I fear, that are unfit for the battle. Now, this group of people here, he mentioned four different groups here that I want to talk about, and basically what Moses was saying, he said, these certain types of people, the best thing, send them home, they're not fit for the battle. And usually, this type of situation here won't really come to the surface until a person finds himself in a raging battle, and that's usually when some of these things, the cracks will begin to appear, and so forth. And I want to speak to you tonight on the subject of unfit for the battle. We're in a battle, you're in a battle, it's a spiritual battle. And Jesus may come before this year's out, and thank God, I hope He does. I mean, if you want to come back tonight, even so, amen. Come on back, Lord. It's fine with me. I got nothing else on the agenda that I'd rather do. I can't think of anybody else I'd rather see. I can't think of any place else I'd rather go. I'd just assume Jesus would come back tonight. But if he tarries through this night and 1,000 other nights, 10,000 other nights, and God forbid if it go any further, but if Jesus tarried, 100 years, we ought to stick it out and be good soldiers and stay in the fight. I want you to notice with me, first of all, the first classification, and if you fall into any of these areas, take heart, there is a remedy for any and all of them, but the first classification of a person whom God says is unfit for the battle is that person who is undedicated. Notice in verse number 5, and the officer shall speak unto the people, saying, what man is there which hath built a new house and hath not dedicated it? Let him go and return to his house. There are people who have never really dedicated themselves totally and to the Lord. And brother, when you get in the fight, and you don't have to be a missionary to find this out. I mean, a missionary, we're on the platform, we're in the spotlight, and they're going off to the regions beyond. And brother, it's tough out there. I'm telling you what the truth, it's tough. Matter of fact, if God didn't call you to be a missionary, you'd be a whole lot better off just to stay home. I mean, you can make a mess at home a whole lot easier than you can make a mess halfway around the world. And there are some messes going on. I took a trip here last year, went all the way around the world, and I've come to the conclusion, I guess as some other folks have, I believe the greatest problem on the mission field is half them suckers need to come home, if you want my honest, undiluted opinion. And then I believe we've got a lot of folks at home that ought to pack up and get out there and go and do what God called them to do. Just simply getting an airplane ticket to some place on the other side of the earth is not going to make you a dedicated, sold-out Christian and a dedicated, sold-out minister and a dedicated, sold-out soul winner. It's not going to produce in just a twinkling of an eye when you step off the airplane. It's not going to be presto change-o. You're now a missionary. It doesn't work that way, friend. But those of us that are in the fight, whether it's out on the foreign field or whether it's here at home or no matter what capacity it is, unless we're dedicated down in our hearts, I mean lock, stock, and barrel, friend, when we get in the middle of the battle, the seams will begin to split apart and the skies will grow dark, and before you know it, you're going to be hightailing it back home. You're going to get back to where the comforts are, and you're going to forget about that battle, because there isn't any battle that anybody's ever really been into that was ever pleasant. I don't care who it is. And many times we hear missionary war stories, as it were, and I guess I've heard as many as anybody else, and I've told a few, I reckon. But I tell you what, it's one thing, and there's exciting and everything else, but my friend, when you're sitting out there in the middle of it, and it don't look so good then. When you're out there in the, the razor blades are flying 10,000 feet in the air, and you don't know there's no place to hide, and you don't know what to do, and you've got children and everything else. I mean, friend, listen, it gets scary out there. And you get in the middle of the situation, and unless you're sold out to God, and no doubt about it, our dear brother there in Chile, he was sold out to God. The preacher told the truth. Almost every missionary in the country of Chile came home. I personally only know of two that stayed. There's probably more than that. I only know of two that stayed and stuck it out. The communists were taken over, and it's one thing to sit at home and talk about that, but my friend, it's another subject when you get in the middle of it, and they start shooting them bullets around, and them things start going off, and those communists, they don't like you a little bit. They'd cut your throat in a minute if they could. I was talking to a missionary over in Ethiopia. He was in Ethiopia, Brother Richard Dick, and the communists took over there. He stayed, and after the communists took over, matter of fact, he got out of town, I guess 2 days before he would have been executed. They had his family in the car, and they're trying to get out, and they had a big riot going on. And there was a fella, and one of those soldiers had caught this man, and right there in front of his car, and this man turned around and ran toward Brother Vic's car. He said that soldier caught him and pulled out his gun and stuck it in that man's face and pulled the trigger on a .45 caliber pistol and blew the back of that man's head clean off. And he said that man, he said he could still see him to this day as he slumped down to his knees and his eyes got a glassy glare on him as he looked into his eyes, and he said he locked eyes with him there for a moment and said he fell over there in the street and bled and just jerked a little bit.
bit, and that's all there was to it. I tell you what, friend, when you start getting in those situations, you better make dead level sure that you're prayed up and that you've dedicated your all, because there ain't no coming back when it gets down to that level. I mean, friend, that's when everything, all the sham is over. I mean, it's all done. All the hoop-de-doo's finished. And if you're not dedicated, you'll find yourself in a worse mess than you ever thought existed. And it's not just for missionaries. We at home, and those of you that are here involved in the ministries of this church, I mean, if you're going to see it through to the end, and if we're going to go through and holding hands through the battle, you better get it in your soul and in your heart. You better get dedicated to God, because rough times are coming. It's right around the corner. I'm not just a pessimistic sort of fella, but I tell you, I'm very realistic, and we're headed for some rough days ahead. You mark it down. It's not going to get any easier. Thank God it gets better all the time, but it's not going to get any easier as far as God's people are concerned. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy and chapter 2 and verse 3, he said we're to endure hardness as a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to be soldiers. We need to be hard. We need to experience and take the pains of life as they come. And by the grace of God, keep on keeping on for the Lord. I mean, sometimes I don't understand some folks, and I don't have all the answers, and God forbid I wouldn't begin to judge. I wouldn't begin to criticize. I wouldn't begin to look down my nose at somebody else. But it's amazing to me sometimes what little bit of dedication some of God's people have. And I'm talking about on both ends of the stick. It's a team effort. We're all involved. God didn't call you to go, and therefore you're getting involved in helping to send those that are going. But we need dedication on both ends. You can find through the Bible, you find the story of Achan. Achan was a soldier in the armies of Israel. And Achan was, you know, when Achan got into trouble, it wasn't because he was sitting back home like David. Now, you can get in trouble back there. Achan was right in the middle of the fight. He was right in the middle of the slaughter. No doubt his sword was dripping with the enemy's blood. No doubt the screams and the cries and the clash of battle surrounded him all over. He was right in the middle of the thick of it. And yet, because he wasn't dedicated, he got messed up. And just because we're right on the firing line, and just because we're up to it, right up to our necks, that don't mean the devil can't slip you over one, friend. Better get dedicated. And then notice the next group of people. If you're not dedicated, you're not fit for the battle, friend. You're not going to make it, not in the real battle. You might put on a sham about it, but you're not going to make it through the real battle. And then notice the next group of folk, and that's the unproductive in verse number 6. And what man is he that hath planted a vineyard and hath not eaten of it? Let him also go. There are folk who have never won a soul to Jesus Christ. And even worse than that, there's some folks they ain't even tried. They ain't even tried. Now I'll tell you something, like, friend, listen. And you listen real well, and you listen real good, and you understand what I'm saying. I appreciate every time that you folk in this church have ever sent me. You'll never know this side of eternity what you folk mean to me. You'll never know how much I love you. I don't believe you'll ever understand, and I'm sure I'll not be able to comprehend some of the sacrifices, no doubt, that some of you folks have made on my behalf. And we'll never understand some of it, but I'll tell you this, you're not going to buy God off. I don't care how many flags you stick up there on that wall. I don't care how much money you put in that pan. You are not going to buy God off. You're not going to be able to get out from under your personal responsibility to win people to Jesus Christ by paying a missionary to go do something that you're not willing to do at home. Matter of fact, I'm convinced a person, and the point I'm making here, a person who's unproductive, a person who doesn't care about souls, a person that won't win somebody that lives across the street, they're not going to get too involved in somebody that lives across the seas. If they're not interested in souls that are going to the same hell right next door, they're not going to get too stirred up about some black fellow running naked in a jungle over there somewhere. You'll never convince me that a man is going to get too stirred up about missions that's not stirred up and concerned about those folks that are living right around him in his own hometown. The unproductive. They're not fit for the battle. John 15:8 says, "Herein is my Father glorified. Herein is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit." You want to glorify God? Then, brother, get out there and begin to bear fruit. And it's not just winning souls. That's part of it. And there's a lot of folk don't even get involved in that. But that's part of it. But it goes a lot deeper than that. But if you're going to do anything for God, and if you're going to get through this battle, and if you're going to be fit for the battle, then, my friend, you must needs be a productive Christian. Listen, what God put you down here on this earth for anyway? And God didn't put us down here just to eat a certain amount of food and take up a certain amount of geographical space and to emit a certain amount of body heat. God put us down here to produce something for His glory. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. And then He went on to say, somebody already quoted in verse 16, He said, I have ordained that ye should go and bring forth fruit. And He said that your fruit should remain. And those folk that are not productive, they're not going to make it in the battle. They're unfit for the battle. And they'll not make it through the hard times. Those folks that are not producing for God and don't care about souls here. Listen, friend, you go across the waves, and a person that can't win souls here, as it's already been said, if a person can't do it here, I don't go across the waves, you won't be any more productive than you were right here. Matter of fact, it'd be a whole lot easier to win souls of people that you know, or people at least ways that are from your same culture and look about the same and talk about the same. It's a whole lot easier to win that crowd than it is to look into the face of a person who's from a different culture, thinks different, talks different, and everything else. The unproductive. The unproductive. The Bible said in Proverbs 11:30, I know you know it well. It says, he that winneth souls is wise. The Bible says here, this fellow here had a vineyard, and he had not eaten of it. Now the world is the vineyard, and we as God's people, all of us got a little corner of the vineyard that we're working in. And all these brethren, they all go into different parts of the vineyard. But you know, as every one of us as individual Christians, we have a responsibility. And you got a vineyard right here in Beaver Creek, right here in Dayton. And God forbid that you try to bribe God off and buy God off. Listen, if God wants you to be a missionary, I'm not saying don't give. I'm not saying don't be involved. Be involved, but first of all, do like those folk Paul talked about. He said, first they gave of themselves unto the Lord. First. Then they gave to them. You give yourself totally to God. The unproductive, they're not fit for the battle. They're not fit. And then notice, the unloving are not fit for the battle. Verse number 7. And what man is there that hath betrothed the wife and hath not taken her? Let him go and return into his house. And the Bible says a lot about love. Oh, thank God for that song Brother Cosby sung. That's a precious song. I love that song. But you know, we don't see a whole lot of real love exhibited amongst God's people. Just to be honest with you. We love our wives. This is what this particularly talking about. You know, I've seen some missionaries that completely shipwrecked. They shipwrecked because they forgot that God had given them a wife. And they get to the field, all of a sudden they've been going 90 miles an hour and they're not taking their wives and their family into consideration. And they get off on the field and all of a sudden there's nobody. There's nobody. It's just you and her. And all of a sudden some of them realize they don't even know the woman. They don't know her. They don't know her. And before you know it, when you're thrown together in that kind of a situation, it will either draw you closer together, or brother, you're talking about one blow-up mess. And I've seen some of them. I've seen some of them. And love ought to begin at home. And I've been in pastors' homes, and I've seen how some of them treat their wives. And before God, it breaks my heart. And I've seen some missionaries and how they treat their precious wives that God gave them and how they treat their children. I wonder sometimes, how shall we be able to help the heathen and help those ignorant folk when we ourselves seemingly sometimes, in some cases, don't seem to have enough love about us or ability to exhibit that love and concern for those that are closest around us. Well, there's some fellows that, and they're nicer to the some lady down the road somewhere at the office than they are to their wife. That's an abomination. The unloving. The unloving. And I'll tell you what, you don't think the devil won't attack your home, friend? You mark her down. I mean, you know how he'd destroy this church? He'd destroy this church through the homes, because this church is made up of homes. And you get a missionary out there on the field, and brother, you're talking about working on your family. I guess probably when we first got to the field and we were off in the bush, I mean, I was totally unprepared. I had no comprehension of what, I didn't think it was supposed to be like it was. And I mean, totally unprepared. And you're talking about the pressures, and you're talking about the devil attacking your family. I mean, there we were, and that's all we had, just us and 450 Indians. And I don't know, they all seemed to want to kill me for some reason. Never could figure that out, as nice and sweet as I am. But I mean, brother, there we was, all by ourselves. And I found, brother, the devil attacked my home and attacked my family more than ever before that I ever noticed in my ministry. And love. The unloving, they're unfit for the battle. They'll not stand in the battle. My friend, if you have an unloving heart, you're not going to make it through this year supporting these fellows. You just mark that down. We want to love our wives, our children, and then our brothers and sisters. You know, John 13:35. Jesus said, you know how men are going to know that you're my disciples? That you have love one toward another. That's how they're going to tell. Why? Because, man, the world don't understand about that kind of stuff. They really don't. The world don't understand how that we could love one another, because the world knows that, I mean, personalities are different, and there's some folk, no doubt, rub you the wrong way. I mean, I've rubbed some folks raw the wrong way. I know I have. And I thank God some folks have tolerated me and loved me in spite of myself. But the world understands how that those things work, but they don't understand how can you love somebody sometimes in spite of yourself. And I'm not talking about this hooshy-gooshy, you know, I love you, my brother. I'm talking about real love. I'm talking about real love. Real love that doesn't go around stab somebody behind the back, and real love that falls on the face before God and talks about their brother to the Lord and tries to uplift him. I don't understand. I really don't. I somewhere the other day, and there's a fella, and we was talking, and he got to talking about this certain preacher, and this preacher had a problem. Matter of fact, this preacher messed up, and he was talking, I'm not a spiritual giant. God knows I'm not, but man, it is breaking my heart. And yet this fella seen from his outward appearance, from the way that he sounded, that it was almost like that he was gloating about the fact that he was a brother, and this brother had failed by the wayside, and it was almost as if he were saying, I knew it was going to happen. I knew he wasn't nothing but a bum anyway. I knew it was happening, and almost like he was glad that it happened. Well, friends, we don't see much love anymore. I know sometimes, you get to doing something for God. And I'll tell you what, I don't mind the lost folk. Honestly, they're doing the best they can. And I don't get stabbed much by the lost folk anyway. But I'll tell you what breaks your heart. It's when your brothers and sisters in the Lord, man, when they start working you over, when they start stabbing you in the back, when they start talking about you, when they start running you down, when they don't have enough compassion and love to pray for you and to try to help you and try to pick you up and try to help you out on the right way. I recall, you know, just here, there, as a matter of fact, at my home church, we're involved in that Bible printing business, and oh my soul, the problems involved. We're printing the Word of God and producing it in 9 different languages right now. Oh, you're talking about problems, good night. Oh, they're legion, don't have time to get into them. But oh, I'll tell you, we get criticized. Oh man, we get criticized, and we come out, you know, this new leather Bible, and already, you know, we found a few typographical errors, and I mean, we're kind of like babies, you know, trying to run this deal, trying to get something going, trying to help preserve the Word of God, trying to produce a quality Bible for God's people. And oh, you wouldn't believe, honestly, well, maybe you might believe, but you wouldn't believe some of the criticism. I mean, some of the awful, nasty, bad things that are said. And I was there the other day, and I was looking, there's some of them old widow women sitting around that desk in old arthritic hands and putting together that Bible, and I thought about folk that have criticized them dear precious old saints of God. I mean, criticized the pastor, criticized, and some of them never been down there. They've never seen it. They don't know what they're talking about. And just because, I mean, we're doing the best we can, and God knows, I mean, we're open for correction. God knows we're not above criticism, but for Lord's sake, we don't like to be treated like the heathen down the road, and like Zondervan up the road, and like that cussing crowd down the road producing good news for modern men. For Lord's sake, we're doing the best we can do. At least you could treat a fellow like a brother in the Lord. And it seems like some of God's people have forgotten about loving folk, having love in people, and trying to help folk. And amen, putting up and tolerating with some of them. The unloving. Man, I'll tell you what, friend, you got that old bitter spirit. You're unfit for the battle. You mark that one down. I don't care what else you got going for you. You're unfit for the battle, friend. I mean, you're going to walk around. And you know, most of that crowd, I found this out, most of that crowd, they ain't really in the battle. They ain't never gotten the battle. Matter of fact, most of that crowd wouldn't get within 5 miles of the front lines because they're yellow. Most of that crowd, they're yellow as they can be. And you know what they make their habit doing? They get up about where the lines used to be, where all the wounded are laying, and they go around fixing them up real good. They find a fellow's only got one wound in one knee, they'll blow the other kneecap off for him, help him out real good like that. They find a fellow laying there and his guts all shot out, and they fix him up, they cut his throat and help him right along, you know. And that crowd, usually, they don't know nothing about the battle. They've never been up where their shells are blowing up. They've never been up where their screams are going. They've never been up where the multitudes are dying. They've never been up where they're going toe to toe and eyeball to eyeball. Most of that crowd never has, and most of that crowd never will. The unloving. And then, I'm going to close. Notice the last group, and that's the unsteady. And the officers shall speak in verse 8, and the officers shall speak further unto the people. And they shall say, what man is there that is fearful and faint-hearted. You know, when I read this, and I was trying to get a hold of this thing. I said, you know, Lord, if we in America was fixing to go to war, them first three would have wiped out our whole army. I mean, brother, they'd have wiped out the whole crew. And whatever stragglers was left, that fourth one would have got them. He said, what is there among you that are fearful? Faint-hearted. I said, preacher, I'm a little bit scared about this thing. I don't know about this. I said, preacher, you know, I'm just scared. I don't know about it now. I want to do something for God, but I'm scared. And friend, the unsteady, notice what it says. The unsteady, those that are fearful, he said, tell him to go home, return to his house, lest his brethren's heart faint as well. You know what you're going to do? You're going to scare somebody else. And listen, friend, it's scary enough. It's scary enough without trying to scare somebody else. But say, preacher, now wait a minute. I'm really scared, and I don't want to quit. And preacher, really, maybe I've not been as loving as I ought to be. And preacher, I've not been real productive. And Brother Jim, I just really not as dedicated as I show I put on. You mean go home? But they didn't go home. They went anyway. And then some folks did go home, and then no doubt they came back. And some of the folks, because you know, when you get right down to it, especially that last one, ain't anybody here ain't been afraid. There's not a missionary here been on the field. I know they've been afraid. I know they have. Say, Brother Jim, what's the answer? Well, the answer, of course, is found in verse number 5, that dedication. And you know, there's one thing, you know, when God doesn't deal with a problem in the Bible, it's because, as I heard Dr. King one time say, it's because that problem really doesn't exist. If God doesn't deal with your problem, and you think, man, I got a problem, and just God don't deal with that problem, that's because that ain't no problem. That is a smoke screen. That is a straw dummy. That is something that you set up, and something you heard some stupid psychologist tell you, and it's not really a problem. For example, timidity. That's not a real problem. God doesn't deal with that anymore. He doesn't deal with that problem. That's not a real problem. That's just a backup and a cover-up for something else that is a real problem that God deals with. And friends, tonight you say, Brother Jim, man, I'll tell you what, I'm scared. That's a real problem. That's a real problem. And there's an answer for that problem, and that answer, as we found out yesterday, that's fear not. I mean, trust God. Trust the Lord. Put it all in His hands. You know what I find most missionaries fear more than anything else, especially the first trip to the field? It's not the privation. That's real. It's not the persecution. They find out that's real. It's not the 1,001 other things. You know what the real fear is? The fear of failure. I mean, when I first went to the field, God knows my heart. I mean, I've been on deputation, and there was churches that were standing behind me, and they were praying for me, and they were supporting me, and they dumped a ton of money into me. And there I was going out to do a job for God, going out someplace I knew not where exactly I was going to wind up. And I was going out, and I wasn't sure about what I was going to face. And after I got there, I had fear about being able to do the job before I left. And when I got there, 6 weeks later, I knew I couldn't do the job. And I feared more than anything else, failure. Coming back home, probably part of that was pride, without a doubt. But some part of it was just the fact that I did not want to let down God's people. I did not want to let down the folk that were represented on the other end of that little string that went to my picture. And I knew there were some old grandmas, and there were some old widow women, and there were some men that worked hard down in the factory all day long, and some men that drove trucks up and down these highways all day and all night that they might get in behind me and put some money in for me so that I could go and do a job for God. And I didn't want to let them down. I didn't want to have to come home and say, I failed. I made a miserable mess. I failed. And come home with my tail tucked between my legs. I didn't want to fail. It was a fear. It was a fear. But I found out. Oh, I found out. Thank God that His grace is sufficient. Now, we've said that, and we say it, and it's almost like a little Christian cliche. But my friend, it is true. His grace is sufficient. And I trust tonight. You say, preacher, I don't feel too steady. I tell you what, friend, you get a hold of God. You get a hold of God. I'm not a hero. I'm not made out of hero material.
I don't know if we ever had any heroes in our family. When I was in the military, I was scared all the time. I tell you what, I got so scared one time I wet my britches. Now, that might seem funny now, but that wasn't a bit funny, friend, when I was doing it. I had never been more scared in my life. I was scared from the time I got off the boat until I got back on the boat, until I got back to America. I'm just not hero material. I mean, I'm just not. I mean, there's no hero blood in my veins. I like to keep it all where it is. There's no hero blood in my body. I mean, I'm allergic to pain. I don't want nothing to do with that stuff. I'm not martyr material. I done told the Lord, Lord, if they ever start sticking us up and hanging us up, I'll tell them anything they want to hear. Lord, forgive me ahead of time. I just can't help it. I mean, that's just me. I'm just not that made that way, friend. Just ain't. I'm just being honest with you. I ain't. You say, well, Brother Jim, man, that's just about like me. Well, you ain't. Don't feel like the Lone Ranger, man. There's some other folk in the same thing. I read a book one time. Matter of fact, you ever run onto it, you ought to get it. It's called Chesty Puller. He's an old Marine Corps general, made general after sometime after the Korean War. And this guy's something else. I'm telling you, you're talking about bold as a lion. This dude was something else. And some of the things that said in there, and I read a statement, and it said, how'd he put that? He said, the grandest thing I think in all the world, he said, is a coward that makes himself stand steady. He said, a brave man dies but once, while the coward dies 1,000 times. Brother, that's the truth. A coward's always dying. He's always afraid. This is going to happen. That's going to happen. And most of the time, nothing happens. Brave man don't die at one time. You say, Brother Jim, all right, how do I get that way? How do I get that way? Well, friend, I tell you what's going to cost you. It's going to cost you everything. Everything. Say, everything. Yes, everything. Say, my house. Yeah, your house. Say, my car. Yeah, your car. Say, my family. Yeah, your family. Yeah, everything. Everything. It all belongs to God anyway. So you mean you want me to go out here and just junk it all? No, no, no. I'm telling you, you put it all in God's hands. Well, really, just take your hands off of it. That's what you need to do. Just take your hands off of it. And you get yourself in a position, and instead of fooling yourself and trying to put on some macho act, you admit the things as they are, and rather do business with God. And I'm not talking about sham jobs. I'm talking do business with God. I found out, listen, God, He can take a little country boy that's scared of his own shadow and pump him so full of the Holy Ghost until he'd attack the gates of hell with a squirt gun filled with gasoline, amen. Shouting the chorus of the fight is on. It's no time to back up. The enemies are at the gate, and God's people need to go forward. We need to stand in the hedge and make up the camp as the enemy pours over the wall and his friends fall on every side, and they're coming down off the wall. They're climbing down over here. They're falling off over there. God permit that we would go forward and stand shoulder to shoulder and face the attack. And if we fall, then we fall. If we die, then we die. Whatever the condition, just stand for God and stand. Having done all, stand. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for this church. Thank you, God, for these people. Father, maybe there have been some here tonight that are not fit for the battle. I'm sure, matter of fact, I know some of the men that day that heard this, it sounded good. Here's an out. The men that go home, especially when they got to the last one. Well, the first one, probably smarted a little bit on all of them, but some of them, no doubt, had a new house and they hadn't dedicated it. Some of the others knew maybe they hadn't dedicated theirs like they ought to. Some of them, no doubt, had planted a vineyard and hadn't had a chance to eat of it. A few, no doubt, had taken a wife and they had not consummated their marriage. But then, oh, when he got to the last one, I imagine many a man's heart leaped within him. He thought, here's my ticket out. And yet I'm sure, Lord, many of them stayed, even though they would have fit in one of those categories. But Lord, even if we stay, we don't do some changing and some fixing up in some of those areas, Some folk are no more dedicated to God than an alley cat is. And yet they profess to know the Lord. And they stand in the ranks, sing the same songs, march by the same cadence. But oh God, when the shells begin to fall in amongst the troops, they'll vanish. They'll disappear. Father, I pray. Lord God, tonight I pray you'll get a hold of the hearts of men, women, boys, and girls in this church. Perilous days are ahead. Father, for those that are lost, I realize tonight most of what I've said has been directed at Christians. There's some here, no doubt, tonight that don't know Jesus. It's not that they're not dedicated. Not that they're unproductive. Lord, they're dead in their trespasses and their sins. They may be a church member, but they've never been born again. Father, would you speak to them? We're here this week to raise money for missionaries to go to the heathen. How tragic for somebody, one of our own fellow neighbors and countrymen, to die and go to hell right here in our midst. Lord, speak to them. Father, get glory to yourself, I pray. Do something for us tonight, Lord, while our heads are bowed, Pastor.
Let's all stand. Brother Kenny, you come. Musicians will come and play for us. We're going to sing, Brother Kenny. We'll sing number 310. If God has spoken to your heart, don't wait till the fourth stanza. Be a man. Be a lady. And come on the first stanza. Especially if you need to be saved. Maybe you thought you were saved. Maybe you've told others you were a Christian. Maybe you've been a member of a Christian church many years. But God has shown you tonight that the reason you've been unfit for the battle is you just never signed up to begin with. That you've been fighting a battle without God's help. And you've just been a miserable failure. And God has shown you tonight the whole problem is you've just never enlisted in the Lord's army to begin with. You've never been really saved, and you've been trying to fight the Christian battle without Christ. Oh, that's a losing fight. The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. If you do not have Jesus Christ, there's no victory in your life. You're dead in your trespass and sin. You're on your way to hell. You're a child of the devil. Won't you come tonight if you're not saved? And God has shown you tonight that you need Jesus Christ as your Savior. Would you come and accept Him? And if you're a Christian that's had some of these problems, would you step out as we sing, brother? You sing.
Oh, to Jesus I surrender. Oh, to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily live.
Speaks to your heart, would you come?
I surrender all.
what's the instruments playing now? Brother Blunkall wants to help support Brother Mike Gilbert. And he'll send the money through his church to ours to help Brother Mike get to Australia. Dick Enloe needs your help in Chile. Dewey Myers wants to continue to reach seamen in New Orleans. Jim Mossbacker wants to go to Canada to win lost Catholics, lost people to Christ in Canada. Jimmy Odom wants to stay in Germany. John Sturtz, he wants to send that literature behind the Iron Curtain. John Thompson needs to stay on the streets of Houston and preach the gospel to a lost people that don't know Jesus Christ. Is there somebody tonight that'd like to get in the battle to support these men? I guarantee you, you take on a missionary, the battle's on. And I guarantee you, the reason some folks don't take them on is because they know it. And some of you need to just be a little more loving for lost people and saved people. Brother Willie told me about a man who said, the Christian people are the only people that shoot their wounded. That's right. Communists don't even do that. As bad as the Japanese were in World War II with their wounded, they never did that. We know we've passed from death into life because we love the brethren. If you got any, if you have any bitterness in your heart tonight toward any Christian, that's an unloving spirit. And I guarantee you, as long as that spirit resides in your body, you'll have no fellowship with God, and you will have no fellowship with anybody else. I found out something. When you're out of fellowship with God, you're out of fellowship with everybody. You get into fellowship with God, you can fellowship with anybody. Personally, I have no enemies. I mean that. If my worst enemy walked in here tonight and said, brother, would you forgive me? In a second. Or if I found myself to be wrong concerning him, I'd let him know. I may be mean-sounding, mean-looking sometime, but I guarantee you, if I've done you wrong, you will find out about it. How about you? Don't let the devil keep you out of the battle, keep you out of the fight, and keep you out of the glory, and keep you out of the blessings with a heart full of bitterness. Bitterness will eat you alive. You know the thing I hate about it? What I hate most about bitterness is not the fact that a Christian will harbor it in their own heart. The Bible says you'll defile others with it. I mean, it's one thing to ruin yourself, but how about the others around you? It's not fair to ruin them, to harm them. And that's what you do with a root of bitterness. It defiles others. Come on now. Get up here and get it out of your heart. Root it out. If we confess our sins, He's just and faithful to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us. Cleanse that heart of all unrighteousness. If you haven't been dedicated, if you haven't been courageous, you can be through Jesus Christ. If you stand back there in your flesh and in your own self, you'll always fail. You'll never be victorious until you learn to call upon Him with whom the victory is. We're more than conquerors through Him. Would you come and get the victory tonight? Or would you come and help a missionary to stay on the foreign field or go to the foreign field? Some of you were under so much conviction last night and are tonight, you can't even look at me. Why don't you just get right and have a good time while you're saved? Amen? Come on, sing, brother. Come on. Come on. Come on. You need
to do it. Just step out and come. Don't let the devil have the victory. Come on. Come on. Come on. God loves you. God loves you. The love of God is calling you tonight. Would you come? Come on. Keep singing, Kenny. Would you give yourself to Him tonight?
Fill me with thy
come and get filled.
Love and power.
Be filled with the power.
Let thy blessing fall on me. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my precious Savior. I surrender.
Just every head bowed, just the piano and organ playing. We'll wait for those who are here to finish doing business with God. The invitation is still open if you need to come. We're not going to quit as long as you won't. What I love about God is even when we don't want Him to bother us and convict us, He keeps right at it. He loves us so much, He never leaves us nor forsakes us. He ever loves us. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. That's it. How about you? Oh, He loves you with a love so infinite, so wonderful, so full and pure, right. And He wants to purify you, cleanse you, clean you up, make you a vessel fit for the Master's use. Would you come? Would you forsake sin? Forsake self? Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you know if you'd die right now, I mean you'd die right now, you'd say, "Preacher, I know beyond any shadow of a doubt I'm saved. I know about when I got saved. I know the Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior." Raise your hand straight to the sky. Thank you. Some of you hesitated a little too much. Some of you are lying. Now, if you're not saved, then you know it. And if you died right now, you have no idea. You're not sure at all what had happened to you. But you are concerned about it. Would you slip your hand up and say, "Preacher, pray for me. I don't know whether I'm saved or not. But I'm concerned enough to want prayer for me." Come on now. Slip that hand up and say, "Preacher, pray for me." Is there one concerned enough? Slip that hand up. Some of you just couldn't get it up fast enough. You're as lost as anything there is, and you need Jesus Christ. Come on now, put that hand up and say, "Preacher, pray for me. I do need to be saved. I'm going to be honest with you, preacher. I know I'm not a Christian. I know I'm going straight to hell for my sins. I don't want to." Would you be honest? Just lift your hand up. People are still coming. How about you? I'm not going to stop as long as folks are coming. Is there a Christian here tonight? Say, "Preacher, God is dealing with me about some things in my life that I know are wrong. Some attitudes, some actions that are wrong. And I need to get them right. Would you pray for me, preacher?" Would you slip your hand up and say, "Preacher, pray for me. God is dealing with me." God bless you, sister. I see that hand. God bless you, sir. I see that hand. Thank you. I see that hand back there. Yes, ma'am. I see that hand over there. God is dealing with me. Some things in my life just aren't right. Yes, sir. I see that hand. Come on now. Get it up there. I see it. Thank you, ma'am. Be a man. Be a woman. Put it up if you need prayer. Be honest. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for these that know that you're dealing with them, and they know what you're dealing with them about. Lord, now, by the power and through the power of the Holy Spirit of God, would they yield to you right now? Would each one of them pray with me right now? If you raise your hand, you pray silently with me. Dear God, help me to forsake the things that are displeasing to you. Dear God, forgive me for not being willing to forsake them on my own. God, help me to live for Jesus Christ and to dedicate my all to Him. In Jesus' name, amen. With every head bowed, if you prayed that prayer, would you slip your hand up? God bless you. Yes, yes, hands all over. God bless you. God bless you. Dear Heavenly Father, we commit this service to Thee, Father. Bring glory to Thy Son, honor to the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. God, build Christians in the holy faith and help us to win the lost. Thank you for the two precious, 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 precious souls that were saved today on the street. Lord, we may never get them into our church, but Lord, if their confessions were from the heart, You got them into Yours. Thank You for that, Father. Help us to follow up on them. Help us to send them literature and try to encourage them. Lord, help us to continue to do all we can while we can to reach as many as we can. Now bless our fellowship together. Bless Brother Willie Cosby as he speaks tomorrow morning in our Sunday school class at 9:30. And I pray that if there's folks here that haven't a church to go to, or haven't a real good church to go to, then be with us in the morning and begin to really live for God and quit playing games called Christianity. Bless these other folks that are members of good Bible-believing churches. Bless their churches tomorrow. Fill their pastors with the Spirit of God. Thank you for Brother Bill Hare being with us tonight from Abundant Life. Thank you, dear God, for these missionaries that came and every person. Thank you for these that came forward and did business with Thee. Thank you for those that raised their hand and needed prayer and prayed. God, grant every prayer request here tonight. Meet every need, solve every problem, answer every question according to the honesty in every heart. And we'll praise You and thank You for it, dear Father. We ask You now to bless the food over in the fellowship building. Bless our fellowship together, dear God. We ask it in Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen. God bless you and good night. If you'd like some of the Blunkall tapes, they'll be over in the new building. There's hot dogs, Coke, and all that sort of thing.
Thank you.